This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Wawinjeka, Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities.
Hey you mob, this is Davey and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy Deadly.
Hello, yes you're on Urban Dreaming. This is Srami on the mic.
Hey, this is Maddie. Welcome to Tuesday night.
Yay. And we are on from 8 till 9pm this evening. So, yeah, guys, deadly show coming up. What have we got up tonight, Maddie?
Oh, we got some massive stuff. We got some of our favourite friends are coming to have a chat to us. We're going to be chatting with Electric Fields about their international tour. We've got Miscellaneous ringing in with her hot box later in the evening, so make sure you're ready for that one. We've got some great headlines coming up that we're going to fire at you a little bit later, and then we've just got a whole bunch of deadly music to play for you as well. Talking of the deadly music, it's going to be some really cool stuff. We've found a new band from a bit of Unearthed that we're going to play for you, and they set to showcase at Big Sound 2017, and with the new year that they've received two Music NT Song of the Year award nominations. They debuted their self-titled album on Friday the 3rd of July, singing in English and Mudborough, a rarely heard Indigenous language. It takes listeners on a journey through the heart of our beautiful desert country as they tell the story of the importance of women as creators. From their inception up until now, they've won Music NT Song of the Year Award, played at Golden Plains Festival, Wide Open Spaces, Barunga Festival, and were the first all-female band to appear at the Bush Bands Bash in 2016. Recorded primarily in the intense summer months in a hall in Malinya and produced by Beatrice, this features sounds from the surrounding lands such as seed pods, thunderstorms and clapsticks. The fruits of these sessions were co-produced, mixed and mastered in Melbourne by Mark Peckham, a.k.a. Monkey Mark. What is this song called, Suri?
Yeah, so this song is actually called Nabaju, which is, means grandmother's song. And the band, yeah, is Karajala Kiradara. So here's the song right now.
Joy 94.9.
Mandi ala,
Absolutely love that. How'd you go? You enjoy it?
Yeah, beautiful. They're an incredible all-female band. How beautiful is that? And singing in language. You know, NAIDOC Week has just been. It was the 2nd till the 9th of July, so last week. Massive NAIDOC celebrations all around Australia. But stunning to think that there is this this idea of our language matters and taking back ownership of our sovereignty and our culture through language, and beautifully done through music from these ladies.
Yeah, and I guess the importance of women as well, knowing that they are the matriarch in a sense, and what we're doing is we're empowering women through song. And, you know, that began from the very beginnings, didn't it? And knowing that these girls are representing and winning awards. So for those who don't know this music, just know we'll be playing this music more often. And these guys are actually going to be having a chance to sit down and with us in the studio as well. So we'll get to meet them, which is pretty cool.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So the time is now 8:09. Yeah, for those who just tuned in, we will be chatting with Electric Fields tonight. And Electric Fields is actually on an international tour as we speak. And we are lucky enough to be able to get in touch with these guys tonight and have a conversation about what they're doing and where they're at the moment. And, you know, they're such an inspiring band. I just love their work. So, yeah, that's something to keep an eye on, guys. Electric Fields, deadly band indeed.
Joy.
Yes, you're in Urban Dreaming, and now the time is 16 minutes past 8. You're with Sarami on the mic.
So we have been discussing lots of things to do with NAIDOC Week, which was last week, and the motto to go with that is that our languages matter. Now, we did a lot of chatting last week and in the lead-up to NAIDOC about what our language means to our guests that we've chatted to, but I guess I never really got a chance to chat about what it means to me. Now, if you can just imagine, I'm sitting in the studio here. If I were to walk past you in the street, you probably would not recognise me as an Indigenous Australian. I've got lighter coloured skin. I kind of look European rather than Indigenous, but that's where that's where the first part of our language matters comes from. My family are from the Stolen Generation. The black was belted out of us, I guess you could say. And as a result of that, I am the only one of my 10 brothers and sisters to identify. Now, what that means to me, and it is quite shocking, is that my voice and my language is more important than ever to identify as a strong Wiradjuri man, even in a family network that doesn't necessarily support our culture or our sovereignty. You know, for me, NAIDOC Week is a week for all of us to be able to stand strong in sovereignty and celebrate our culture and share that with the rest of the rest of Australia, the rest of the world, and so yeah, I guess for me, NAIDOC Week was about. Was about just that celebration, and of course I go and I chat to people all the time about my culture and what I love about it, and you know that comes down to the storytelling. I mean, you know, guys, it is the oldest culture on the planet, and you know we've been telling stories for that amount of time, the Dreamtime stories, the dancing, you know, our connection to the land with the ochre and the dancing. So I thought what I would do is I would share with you probably what is one of my favourite Dreamtime stories. Because if we're talking our language matters, then I think our stories matter as well. So go with me here. This one is called White Clay and the Giant Kangaroo, and it's a story from my people, the Wiradjuri people, and it's a story about how we came to get fire, and why there are no giant kangaroos anymore, and why we use ochre when we dance. So here goes. A long time ago in the dreaming, there were the Wiradjuri people. They lived high up on a hill, and below them in the valley were the giant kangaroo. The giant kangaroo did not like the Aboriginal people. They used to squash them. The Wiradjuri people used to sit up high on that hill and without having any fire to cook their food or be warm, they would just sit and watch those giant kangaroo. There was this brave warrior, Wirrawa, who asked the spirit Biami for help. He said, Biami, my people, we're cold, we're hungry, and we're scared of those kangaroo. Can you please help us get rid of them? Biami said to Wirrawa that first he must prove how brave he is. Wirrawa, you must go down into the valley where the giant kangaroo live and take for me the white clay that you find by the riverbed. Wirrawa knew that the only white clay to be found was on the riverbed where the kangaroo lay to sleep. He was scared, but he agreed. And so what he did was he covered his skin in the yellow fat of the gugga. Now, gugga is a Wiradjuri word that means goanna. So the yellow fat of the goanna, which is our totem animal, to protect him, he rolled in the dirt and camouflaged and snuck down into the valley. Whilst he was down there, unawares to the kangaroos, he was able to scoop up that clay and race it back up the top of the mountain to where Biami, the spirit, was waiting for him. Biami was so pleased with his bravery that he blessed the clay, making it sacred. Now, that clay is called ochre, O-C-H-R-E, which is that clay form that's found by the riverbed. And Biami said, because of your bravery, I want you to cover your skin in that clay, that ochre, and do a traditional corroboree dance, of which Wirrawa agreed to do. And from that moment on, Biami then made a huge lot of wind go through, and it made two sticks rub together, causing a fire. The Wiradjuri people were really excited by that because they'd never seen it before. And with that, he sent that fire into the valley, chasing away the giant kangaroo, never to be seen again. From that day on, the Wiradjuri people have had fire. We've been able to cook our food, and we always dance in celebration of Wirrawa's bravery, and that's why we put ochre on when we dance, because ochre connects us to the three parts of the flag: the red of the flag for the land, the yellow of the flag for the spirit Biami who blessed the clay, and black for the people. So that was just my story about why language matters to me. That was one of the core Wiradjuri Dreamtime stories that we have there. We've got lots more stories for you guys. You are on Urban Dreaming, and the time is 8:22 p.m. if you'd like to chime in on the conversation with us, if you'd like to ask about any more Dreamtime stories or maybe share your own or your voice of NAIDOC Week, then make sure that you do shoot us a text, 0427-JOY-949, or you can send us an email on air@joy.org.au.
So, Maddie, with that story, how do you learn your stories and who showed you your stories?
So that story I've been told a number of times. The one that I just spoke out, that's more of one that's been shared for young fella. So it's a book that you can just buy. But that particular story was passed down through yarn circles and things when I was a bit younger, which is really cool.
Because you do a lot of children facilitation work too, don't you?
Yeah. It's really important for me to get the next generation of young black fella, but also Wadjala as well. Lots of, anyone in the community that wants to learn, white or black, Indigenous or otherwise, I just love sharing that culture and those stories because they're ingrained in me. It's the history of the land that we walk on. So, I love it.
Deadly. All right, now, so we've got a really special treat for you guys. We on Urban Dreaming love these boys, and we play their music almost every week. And we had them on the show a couple of months back off the back of their incredible show at Urimboy Festival in early May. And now we chat to them, and we hope, because in regards to their tour, they're doing a national tour, international tour right now, and they'll be in Melbourne in October. And on the line right now, we have them. This is Zachariah and Mick. How are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you going?
Yeah, good. I feel like we've become your stalkers.
Hello. I have. It's Maddie here. I've really become you guys' stalker, but you know that already.
Hello, Maddie.
Hello. Hey. How are we tonight? Are you guys buggered? You've been running around the countryside.
We're kind of catching up on our health a little bit. Zachariah's got a bit of a cough and I've got a bit of a sore throat.
Sore body.
It gets exciting and then you get to the airport and then you go, oh, that's right, airport.
Yeah, breathing in everyone else's filth. That's what you're doing on a plane, aren't you?
Well, that's how the plane is. Isn't it? It's like, because the air is circulating. You're just in a box when you're flying, aren't you?
A urinal with wings.
Well, join the crew, man. I've been pretty crook as well. I don't know if you can tell or not, but I've lost my voice last night and I've only just got it back today. So, yeah, I think it's definitely in the air.
Yeah. Now, if I can just throw something in quickly, because you've mentioned that we're performing in Melbourne in October the 13th, but that's all you can mention. Some of the information about it that's out, we have to actually put it back in. Just on that note, just the date and the city is the only thing we're allowed to say. We didn't get a chance to say it before we went on air.
That's cool.
That's okay, because that's the only information we were giving people.
Yes.
Okay. So that's right. So we have to say anything from it.
That's why we get you beautiful boys on, so you can tell everyone about it.
So is this your first tour, guys, or is this the... Let us know more.
I guess, is the question, is this our first tour?
Yeah, in regards to travelling international.
No, actually. No, last year, about this time, we went to China and Scotland. We have already done a sort of abridged international tour just to those two countries. But this was more, it's like a surprise tour, really, because... we just looked at our diary and went, oh, we're pretty much performing, like in almost every state of Australia and Indonesia in the next couple of months. So that's kind of a tour, really. So we were like, well, let's do up a poster. And because normally you'd prepare, normally you'd plan for the tour and then you'd plan, but we just kind of woke up and our diary looked like a tour. So we went, okay, let's call it that.
Yeah, because it kind of just popped up, didn't it? Like it was, you guys sort of doing your thing and then all of a sudden it was like, here's all these dates. We've got a tour, but there was nothing sort of discussed about it previous.
nothing. No, nothing discussed at all. But people were often saying, you know, hey, guys, you're going to tell us when you're actually performing. And so,
yeah, our fans were, like, getting a little bit mad at us. We were telling them, and we were just realising that we've got to use our website, our page, a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah, you absolutely.
They get really disappointed.
Yeah, well, I was disappointed that there wasn't another show booked for Melbourne, and then this popped up, and I was disappointed because I was flying out of Sydney the day before you were performing, but then I got super excited because you were coming in October, and then I got a little bit disappointed because I mightn't be here, but everyone else can. I might have to go and see you guys in Indonesia. Are you excited about that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we are. Huh? Indonesia?
Yeah, the
Carlin's. Oh, yeah, well, we just got an invite to have dinner with the governor.
Oh, excuse me.
Wow. Special.
Yeah, I mean, we're the only ones going. But, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Sorry, Zachary, I was just like...
I know, it's so hard when you're speaking on one phone on the speakerphone.
Yeah,
in regards to, well, I can just hear you, Zacharias. You might have to come just a little bit closer to the mic if possible.
I like this.
That's it. That's the one. So, so Zacharias, I was just thinking, because the last time we caught up with you was at the Urine Boy Festival, and like you guys blew Melbourne out of the water, let's just say that. And I guess it's just crazy because whenever I see you, like, in person, you're just this really sweet, humble fella, okay? And you don't necessarily, I don't know, I think you've got that same sort of presence like how Jessica Malboy is. She's very quiet in person, you know, she doesn't talk much. But when she's on the stage, she shines and she performs. And that's something I noticed with you. You just came out of your shell. And as a performer, like, did you find that naturally occurred with you as a singer, or was it something that you found as you progressed and knowing that you're obviously starting to create a name for yourselves as well? Has that been a part of the criteria for you, or you know?
So my stage presence, I first realized and was comfortable with that when I was in China. So because that's the first time I ever stepped away from the mic stand, and then I had the mic in my hand, and then once I had the jizz of the vibe of the music, and then just feeling the guys in China, China helped me, Qingdao helped me gain that stage presence. That was the first time I ever started whipping my hair and then feeling comfortable in my body, and you know, moving my body the way it wanted to naturally. Like, I'm in there, I'm in the vehicle, and I'm just like letting the music take me, but then it's like all of this other crazy stuff happening. You're a dancer, you know, like, you would understand, like, once the music hits, so I understand what dancers kind of go through. Once the music hits, and it just does something for your body, and then you don't have any control. So, when I get the urine boy moment was beautiful too. But like, China was the first place I ever started feeling comfortable in my stage presence.
Yeah, and that's why I really stated that fact, because I remember seeing you on The Voice, and you know, obviously you had a different persona because you're more.
Yeah.
It was more of a personal journey, wasn't it, then?
I wasn't really comfortable with myself
that
process. But now I'm just like, you know, once I get on the stage for Electric Fields and, you know, and everything that we represent, I feel like everything's falling in place for me as the lead vocalist, and then what we do in the studio, and then just me and Michael's relationship with Electric Fields and how we take care of the energy of Electric Fields and how we take care of the listeners for it, and whoever else is jumping in there. It's just amalgamating really, really quick, and we've got to, like protect this energy, but, like, keep it real at the same time with that presence. But, yeah, I don't know if I answered that question well, but, yeah.
For those who have never heard these guys' music, just to quickly let you know, their music is basically electronical music, and it's crossed really within with indigenous sounding, isn't it? Or even just language, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's a really long word, and I don't want to mispronounce it, so can you say it properly for us, Zachariah?
It's the animal's language, but the language names are Pidindara and Yankundara.
That's the one. So what we're going to do, we're going to play one of your songs now so everyone can have a listen, and we'll be right back with Electric Fields. Throw the Shade Away, that song then, that was Electric Fields, and we have them on the line with us, Sakurai and Mick.
Hey.
Oh. How deadly was that? Oh, your song's too eager to play the next one. I love it. So, yeah, let us know about that song. How did you actually, how did you guys write that song, and what brought you to write that song?
Shade Away. Well, we're going back over a year now.
That's not very long. It made us say, "Ooh, that was 30 years ago."
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's 30 tracks ago, you know, because we've got heaps of other tracks, and it's just really hard to track it all back sometimes.
But aren't you a black tracker?
Yeah, we're the black tracker.
Oh, well, let's change up the question a little bit. What does Shade Away mean to you now, seeing as it's on your on the EP, Inma? It's one of your faves. It's one of my favourites. The fans obviously love it. What's it mean to you now?
Oh, it's just a breath of fresh air and openness. You know, it's a bridge between anything, whatever the situation is. It helps build a bridge and get over it.
Oh, it really does. When I'm in my car, I just have this blaring. I'm like, throw the shade away.
I could picture him doing that too.
Well, because, like, one of the things that... And Shade Away is one of the very first songs that we did in Electric Fields. And right back when we were beginning our little duo was we were talking about bypassing the barriers. Was a bit of a phrase that kept coming up because there's cultural barriers between, you know, First Nation Australians and, you know, new Australians, and there's barriers between the genders, and there's barriers between, you know, different sexual orientations, and all these goddamn barriers and fences and, you know, boxes. And so we were just kind of like sick of it, you know, and it's like, so when people like, you know, and also because we are both LGBTI people, and so in our community, people often talk about throwing the shade, you know, like, you know, people throw the shade, and sometimes they do it well, sometimes it's just rude, and so this is our way of sort of taking part of our queer cultural reference, and then the First Nations Australian cultural reference, merging it together and getting that shade and throwing it away, because the light is has entered the room. Did you get all that?
Yeah. It's beautiful. I think
well, we sat in a bit of silence for a second because we took it all in. That's why.
Yeah. And that's not it's not good radio, but it's we were feeling what you were saying, picking up what you're putting down.
We were feeling it, brother. We were feeling it with you. That's what we were doing.
You were throwing the shade away, were you?
Yeah. All of it away. Now, last week was NAIDOC week, yeah, and you guys played at the Art, Culture and Music Festival in Kalgoorlie. How was that experience?
Oh, that was legendary. It was so beautiful. The community that were there, and that they were just so welcoming. They embraced us with open arms and legs and everything. It was just so beautiful to be with those guys. The stage was amazing. The kids were great. The parents, everybody was just, like, awesome. But the food was very expensive.
Oh. The food was?
Yeah. Hey, Western Australia, not... Yeah,
well,
that's
Capital.
But the food was very expensive.
Yeah,
three
times.
They think we're all on a gold mining.
Oh, yeah, you're all on a mining wage in WA.
Even though they've got no gold left after digging how many holes in that place.
Yeah, Zachariah's a bit of a gold digger, whether or not he's in
Western
Australia.
Oh, look out.
Love it. See, that's how cool it is, isn't it? When you're on tour, you get to know each other a bit more, you become more comfortable to be able to, you know, run each other down and show your love, isn't it? It's showing your love.
Throwing the shade around.
That's right.
You know, we tour together, but we live together as well.
Oh, so no.
Our lounge room here.
Michael's running up and down at 35. No,
Oh, you guys are so fun. I love it. I love it. So then, Michael, okay, look, I guess, you know, being NAIDOC week as well.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, we've had a conversation with you before about being brought into, you know, Zachariah's mob and being embraced by his people. Like, in regards to NAIDOC, what does it actually mean to you as a white man?
Yeah, look, and it's such a good question because if you had asked me a few years ago, I would have probably only... being able to reference the sort of shame and kind of awkward embarrassment and just like not knowing how, just being ignorant, basically. And, you know, it's embarrassing for people to admit that now, but it is the truth. And a lot of white Australians just get raised or, you know, were raised that way. But what, you know, awesome is that in the last few years, not only have I been learning Anangu culture language and, you know, about the totem and about, I've been learning some weaving and I've just been, you know, and seeing traditional dance and the traditional body paint and just learning that not only Anangu culture, but we make all of our music on Kaurna Nation. So here in Adelaide, on Kaurna land, well, we have actually a Kaurna man who is a Yidaki player, and he plays with us sometimes. And his dad is an elder here, who is a very dear friend of the band. And so we played at his 60th birthday just a few weeks ago, and he's just got Elder of the Year here in South Australia.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, the intense pride that I have to be Australian now is, it just feels true. It feels real because I know I'm learning the real Australia, and it's becoming a part of me, not just part of my knowledge, but a part of my body.
And how beautiful is that?
Well, it feels like home. It feels like home because this, you know, is the land that I've always been on. But now I know it. You know, now I actually now I'm part of its family. The earth here. But before, I just was ignorant. I didn't get it. So now, what does NAIDOC Week mean to me? Well, it's just a huge celebration of the true culture of Australia. And also it's a bit of a wake-up call, just a bit of a big spotlight reminder that humanity will never, ever create something as precious as a culture that has lasted this long. It'll just never happen again. So we must, you know, this culture is more than diamonds, and we have to guard it and we have to celebrate it because it's one of the rarest, most special things in existence for the entire planet ever.
What you're saying is look after your country, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So any advice for those who are at that, I guess, that point where you even felt from before and to where you are now? Any advice to those who are listening who actually, listening to you?
Yeah, look, I really just think it's listen and learn. Just listen and learn. And, listen and learn. I'm still listening and learning.
Great. Well, look, we're going to play one more of your songs, and we just want to say a big thank you once again to both of you. It's been...
Thank you for having us.
No worries.
Round. Wow.
You guys have to come into the studio, though, because I know you're such fun, and it'd be just awesome to have you live in the studio with us.
Yeah, well, just on that note, we can't say where, but it is very exciting. In October, on October the 13th, we're going to be performing in Melbourne, in the city somewhere. And it's going to be amazing. So anyone that's listening and they like the music and they want to see Zachariah's hairography,
whipping it back, yeah. Whipping it back in his hair, yeah. Whipping back and forth, yep.
Where can they find out more information about your secret gig here on October 13th? What's the best place for those listening who are loving Electric Fields and the songs we played? Where can they hear more about it?
Well, they can follow us on Facebook. We're Electric Fields Music. And, we'll put all of our shows up there. Just follow us on Facebook, and you can always listen to us on SoundCloud
Beautiful. Well, thank you very much. They were the boys of Electric Fields. That was Zachariah Fielding and Michael Ross chatting to us all about their international tour that's coming up. They will be in Melbourne on October 13th. Make sure you check them out on Facebook, Electric Fields Music, for tour dates and information. Give them a like, a share and a follow, and mark on your calendar the 13th of October to go and see them here in Melbourne. I double dare you. In the meantime, this is one of our favourites here at Joy 94.9 from their EP. This is called Inma, and their EP is of the same name. Have a listen.
Love the song.
Okay, I remember when we were little, we would hear "Chichichuta Inma Koya Pakala." That would be the grandmothers and the grandfathers being like, "Oh, you guys got to get up and dance, okay? Now we got to do the traditional dance." And if we didn't get it right, our grandmothers and grandfathers would be like, "Oh, Chichichuta Liprala Inma Koya Pakala Alaji Alaji," meaning you got to do it like this. You got to do it like this. And when you'd hear, "Eh," that's when you knew they would be very proud of what you did.
Namani, you mob. This is Jacob Boehm. You're listening to Urban Dreaming, Joy 94.9. Nakanya.
Nakanya too, Jacob. So that was the Deadly Electric Fields. How good is it to chat with them, eh?
I love them. I love them both. They're so, so great. Zachariah and Michael both. I just want to be their friend. I just want to live in their house.
We're just saying that. And they're just such fun. Like, they naturally are. Just really bubbly people, and It comes through the music, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that song, I mean, that song is called Inma, and it's from their EP of the same name, Inma, and that is just, you know, it's language. It tells a little bit of a story about Zachariah's upbringing. They're just so open and welcoming when it comes to the information they can share about themselves, and we just had a really beautiful chat with them about their upcoming international tour, or the tour they're on at the moment, where they'll be in Melbourne on October 13th. So make sure you check out Electric Fields' music on the Book of the Face to find out.
Exactamundo. All right, guys, so it's 8:53 and we're only playing till 9 o'clock, unfortunately. But I've actually got a new artist. I found her, and she's actually part of the NEMA Award winners, and her name is Cassie Williams. I really wanted to check to play this for you. So listen to her right now, and you'll be amazed by her voice.
Take back what I said just the other night. I didn't mean to say the words to you. At times like that, we all don't know what to say. But let me take some time to say to you, how can I live in this world when all I need is you? How can I breathe in this world without you in it? Oh, I don't know what's gotten over me.
Yes, a beautiful song there by Cassie Williams, How Can I?
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.